I'm Bill Shanks, and we are here with Jason Walker from PeachtreeHoops.com. Talking Hawks basketball. The Hawks have a new head coach, Larry Drew. If you want to get in on the conversation, ask Jason any questions you can, or give us your thoughts about the hiring of Larry Drew. Is this a good choice here, or is it a waste of time? You don't care. You'd rather watch Italy play soccer.
We know what Charles would rather do.
Is Italy still playing soccer?
No, that game ended a while ago, Bill.
Okay. Yeah, I was just checking. I haven't had any reaction over there. Like somebody won the lottery. Woohoo! What was the score?
It was 1-1.
Oh, another thriller. Damn. It's 1-1. Don't they know that's not fun. There's nothing fun. Jay, did you watch the soccer thing on Saturday?
No, I didn't.
No. I don't think I liked his tone there. He doesn't sound like a soccer aficionado like us. All right, we're talking basketball. 471-1670 is the number. What do you think, and we talked about the players in general. I know this is kind of trying to read between the lines here a little bit, Jay, but for Joe Johnson's one of these free agents. The Hawks have said they're going to go after him, and he sees Larry Drew. We don't know what kind of relationship Larry Drew had with Joe Johnson, but just speculating here a little bit, what do you think? What do you think Joe will look at this hiring and how will he react?
That's a fair question. I mean, does the hiring of Larry Drew keep Joe Johnson closer to Atlanta, or does it push him further away? And,
right.
I think Joe likes getting the basketball. So I don't know that necessarily Larry Drew coming in and installing an offense that takes the ball out of Joe's hands as much as Larry says it will necessarily helps the cause there. Now, believe me when I tell you that the most important thing to Joe Johnson, I'm sure, in this free agent process, is money.
Yeah.
So the Hawks are the ones that could pay him the most money. So if the Hawks come to him with a 6-year, close to the max, if not the max, contract, Joe Johnson will be an Atlanta Hawk. But in terms of how he's going to feel about being a piece of emotion offense or whatever kind of offense Larry Drew is going to put in, less ISO Joe, less touches on, less holding the basketball. That's not necessarily what Joe likes to create. He likes the physical contact. That's the way he likes to play offense. So it's not necessarily his cup of tea. So I think that, if everybody could offer him the same amount of money, maybe not staying in this move may not help Joe Johnson stay close to the Atlanta Hawks. But I think, in the end, if the Hawks are willing to spend the money that Joe Johnson's looking for, then Joe Johnson will be a Hawk.
Jason Walker, our guest, I got to read this tweet from CNN that just broke here. U.S. finds minerals in Afghanistan worth billions. Does that mean we get a tax rebate next year?
God, I hope so.
478-471-16. I'm paying attention to you, but I'm worth billions. It wasn't like millions. It was worth billions. I kind of, maybe they'll bring that cash for clunkers back. They'll take those minerals and make it old cars where we can get money back for our, 78 Chevys. 478-471-1670. We're talking basketball with our basketball Hawks guru, Jason Walker from PeachtreeHoops.com. Let's go to JJ in Macon. What you think about this, JJ?
Well, the question I want to ask him is, it's been rumored that this was the move that Billy Knight was going to make when the management didn't decide to make the move. And I was waiting, had we really waited too late to make the moves? Because you take teams like Milwaukee, New Jersey, Chicago, it's going to be harder for the Hawks to be that 50-win team because a lot of teams are closing the gap. The Hawks had that winning opportunity with the players they had to do some things. Now, right. With Joe, the thing with Joe and other teams getting better, the Hawks, it's going to be a harder fight for them to maintain the position they're in right now. And I was just wondering, at the time when Knight wanted to make that change, was this the guy, or did the ownership really wait too long?
Jason, what do you think?
First of all, hey, it's a great question, JJ. Is it the move that, yes, if they remember when Knight wanted to let Woodson go, he wanted to let him go during the season originally, which probably portended toward a selection of somebody like, or an elevation of an assistant like Larry Drew to take over. That's typically what happens. So, you know, that very well, you know, very well could have been. You know, did they? I think an even better question is, you know, is it too late to make this move? I think that, you know, for those type of players, for that type of team, yeah, maybe it's a little late because Joe Johnson is going to start to decline now. He's reached his peak. He's probably got another year or two near this level of play and then fall off. So, you know, if the Hawks decide not to bring back Joe Johnson, then yeah, that window's closed. That's a great point. But I think that, and this is a key point, if the Hawks change the things that Larry Drew says he's going to change, then it's very possible that even a team that the Hawks could, A, make the playoffs, maybe as a lower seed, but I think they might be more playoff ready than the 53-win Hawks team of last year, if that makes sense. So, JJ, to your point, yeah, that team, especially if Joe Johnson's gone, that's it for that window. But if Larry Drew is able to make the kind of moves he wants to make and get Josh Smith and Al Horford more touches near the basket and change some of the things on defense, I think that this team, even if they don't win 53 games next year, even if they make the playoffs with 44, 45, 46 wins without Joe Johnson and whatever they get back, I think that the team may be more ready to advance further in the playoffs than even this 53-win team was.
Well, but Jason, doesn't it also have to put an element of patience in there to wait and see if Joe Johnson is hell-bent on leaving, and if it makes more sense to the Hawks to do a sign-and-trade, then who knows, the pieces they may get in some type of sign-and-trade may work better with what Larry Drew is going to do offensively to distribute the ball inside than Joe Johnson being there. That's possible too, right?
You have to wait and see what kind of take you would get back. But as we talked about before, I wouldn't hold your breath on something spectacular. We talked about, you know, the potential of a Bulls deal with Kirk Heinrich and Taj Gibson. That's, you know, those are a couple of good pieces. You know, does it make you a 55-win team? No, I don't think so. I think when you take Joe Johnson and his level of production out, you know, you're left with a pretty sizable gap that those two guys are players like that wouldn't fill. So, but I think that, you know, you could get pieces that help Josh Smith and Al Horford get better, and maybe all that combination does equal the same sum that you had previously with Joe Johnson being in there. So, yeah, it's a good point. We can, we'd have to wait and see what happens. And like I said, I don't think Joe Johnson's bent on leaving. I think he's bent on making the most money he can make, which, you know, is perfectly okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why he's a referee. Get what you get. I tell Joe Johnson, I would tell him, get what you can. Absolutely.
Well,
but I think that's going to be the biggest thing on whether or not he comes back.
Sure. But you know, Jay, as you look at the situation of how it'll play out now, we've said on the show repeatedly that if Johnson leaves, it's not where the Hawks are going to just be able to slide in another big-time contract like a Chris Bosh, sure, or, you know, without the presence of a sign-and-trade. However, let's say Johnson comes back. Does that give them any more flexibility to be active, or are they still kind of hamstrung by the salaries that they have?
Well, even if Joe, you know, they have the full mid-level exception coming back, and I haven't researched it completely, but I wouldn't hold our breath spending that mid-level exception. I think the last time the Hawks spent the mid-level exception was on Nazi Muhammad when he signed his 5-year, $25 million deal. That's a long time. It's almost 10 years since they spent that mid-level exception.
That's ridiculous.
So, you know, I don't think you can hold your breath on that, on spending that. So they have that option to do that. I think if Joe Johnson comes back, then, you know, for the next year or so, you know, they'll still have a 50-win caliber roster, but it limits their flexibility, especially as you move in to what would be years 3, 4, 5, and 6 of Joe's contract. Because I think this ownership group has proven that, you know, that while they're willing to spend $66 million on a roster like they did, going into luxury tax or eating contracts is not something that they're willing to do. In fact, going back to JJ's question, you know, one of the reasons why they probably elected not to make a move is that, you know, they didn't, you know, maybe they didn't want to have a couple contracts. So, you know, maybe they didn't want to have any kind of move that would bring on more money at the time as well.
478-471-1670 is our number. Jay is in Macon. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just a quick observation and then a question. I don't know if you recall the survey about Atlanta and where it ranks in terms of fan discontent. You know, somewhere like number three, number two, right behind Seattle. And, you know, I guess when it gets down to it, when is Atlanta going to truly make an investment like a major city? I mean, this ain't Charlotte. It's not Oklahoma City. It's no longer that small, medium market. It is one of the largest markets. It is the largest market in the Southeast, even bigger than Miami. And the level of investment in this team will mean happier fans. Some of the comments that Joe Johnson made toward the end, plus his performance in the postseason, doesn't warrant him coming back, honestly. And, you know, I'm just curious as to when the ownership will actually take into account the fan discontent, because ultimately they got to fill the seats.
Well, let me chime in this before Jason does. You know, we touched on this last week about the Atlanta Spirit group, talking about them trying to break down a little bit. And it came on the heels of a report I read of people questioning why teams in general do not make a better investment in the people who are running their team. They'll go and they'll spend money on a fourth starter. They'll go and spend money on a backup center. They'll go and spend money bringing a player in for this amount. But when it comes to the people who are in charge of putting your roster together that will create wins on the field or on the court, sometimes they decide to take the cheap route. Now, I don't understand that business model. I'm sure as heck was not a business major at the University of Georgia. However, you would think that people who were wealthy enough to invest in buying a team in the first place would think it would be a smart business sense and a business decision to invest in a head coach, to invest in the right general manager, instead of just getting the one they feel fits the salary level. And you know, that goes into something, Jason, that we're continuing to wonder about with Atlanta Spirit Ownership Group, and that is this fractured group of three groups from three different cities, Boston, Washington, and Atlanta, so fractured that the best interests of these teams are not necessarily served the way they should be.
Yeah, I can definitely, you know, understand the pain and frustration we all can, being, you know, Atlanta lovers and everything else. And whether or not the question, you know, being whether or not they'll listen to the fans' discontentment, I think they feel like, you know, winning is the best solution for them. So they'll do, the best that they feel like they can do to win. But it's not the same as when you watch a Mark Cuban just go out and do it, everything it can take to try to make moves to make them champion. We wrote a piece a little while back on Peachtree Hoops about, you know, the split ownership and, you know, how we just long for that single owner. And that's why Arthur Blank has resonated so much in the Atlanta community, because he did bring in that air of, I'll take care of it. And the buck stopped with him. And, you know, whether you agree with some of the moves that had been made over with Jim Mora or, you know, what happened with, you know, along with Dan Reeves and everything else, Arthur Blank has provided a sole voice of ownership. And that's made the Falcons seem like a stable franchise. And people enjoy going to Falcons games and everything else. And, you know, the Hawks lack that. The Hawks have lacked that for very long, since Ted owned the team. And, you know, and it's too bad because, you know, we don't have an owner that will take on a 6-year contract and knowing that 3 years of it's going to be total garbage and that they're just going to have to eat that. We don't have, we have to work within a very restricted confines. And the fans pick up on that. And the fans understand that when you have a mid-level exception and you see teams like the Mavericks going after Marcin Gortat and going after and getting guys that they want, or the San Antonio Spurs doing the same. You know, when they see winning franchises, the franchises that are at the top of the league, doing the things that whatever it takes, and we're sitting here with a great core of players that can really do something and get into the playoffs and win 50 games, and we're not able to do something simple like go after, you know, guys, a guy like even Drew Gooden, at $4 million was too expensive last year. When they see the Hawks' big free agent signing, outside free agent being Joe Smith for the veteran minimum, people see through that stuff. And it frustrates them. And that's what's frustrating about this coaching hire. Whether or not it was the right move, the fans are going to see it as it lacked pizzazz. It lacked imagination. And they'll wait and see. They'll accept Larry Drew if the Hawks win. But that's the frustration folks are feeling right now. Whether or not it'll change, you have to say no, it won't change unless ownership changes.
Well, and last week I made the point that the three of us here in the studio, me and Russ and Charles, the three of us get along pretty well. And we're not only coworkers, but I think we're friends. And if the three of us owned a team and had to make the decision of who to hire as a coach, we may have three different opinions. And I can make the same example with you. You and I have been good friends for 8 or 9 years or whatever. We have different opinions on different things. That's just the way human nature and human beings are. If we were 50-50 owners in a team, we could easily have two different opinions on who to hire as a head coach. And therefore, if you get a group of eight individuals from three different factions that are split even geographically, I think it's easy to assume that unless there is one guy making the call with everybody else saying, okay, you're the majority owner, we bow to your decision, there are going to be disagreements. There are going to be things that are going to really have to debate about where it's going to be hard to get a consensus opinion on anything.
Right. And what kind of opportunities are being missed because of that? I brought up the classic story of the Atlanta Hawks and Stan Kasten in 1982 wanting to make a deal for Dominique Wilkins and needing to run to Ted Turner to ask for $1 million quick because Utah was in a precarious position
right.
where they needed the money. And you think about that tiny window of opportunity to make a move that changed, that defined the franchise
mm-hmm.
for the next 11 seasons. And that move could not be made with this ownership model.
Right,
it can't. It took us 3 months to figure out if we were really getting Joe Johnson in 2005.
Yeah.
We were lucky that Phoenix didn't move on to something else.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what frustrates. That's what frustrates fans, and that because fans understand what a successful model is. They see Dr. Buss, out in L.A. and They see what's going. They see what goes on in Dallas, and that's what they want.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out. You could get a guy like James Dolan of the Knicks, and it doesn't always work out.
Right.
But at least you know where things stand. You don't feel a sense of hopelessness.
Right.
About certain things, and you certainly don't have the red tape that might be keeping other players and coaches away too.
Well, whenever the Hawks are ready to hire us as consultants, they know where to find us. They can find Jason Walker at PeachtreeHoops.com. Jason, thanks for spending a lot of time with us. We appreciate it very much, and we'll continue to watch your website for more coverage of this decision to hire Larry Drew. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Bill.